So we have been in this sermon series, and this sermon series has extended from 3 weeks to 6 weeks. And man, I'm telling you, every time I go to study this book of James, it has just done something to me. And so we're in this sermon series, and it's called Let's Talk About It. And so this week, we're going to talk about patience. Patience. I'm going to say it for the third time. Patience. Because here's the idea. Our ability to be patient is paramount in our growth as believers. Our ability to be patient is paramount in our growth as believers. And so if you would, let's all stand as we normally do. And as you stand, turn to the fifth chapter of James. I'm going to start at verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7, 8, and 9 to get us started. So James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, James chapter 5, verse 7 reads as such. It says, therefore be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for this chance that we have today, God, to fellowship around your word. Thank you, God, that this word today, God, from the Apostle James falls on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but God, this word today about patience, God, that it germinates, God, and it brings back a harvest. God, I pray that it brings back a harvest in each of our lives, God, so that we could be found patient, God, as we wait on so God, here I stand with one request and one request only. God, that you wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In your wonderful Son, Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Let's read our mission statement. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. You can be seated. As we grow in our walk with God, there is one skill, one spiritual discipline that I believe that we as pastors and teachers that we don't teach on enough. And I believe it's one of the most prevalent problems that we have as believers, and it is the ability to wait. The ability to wait. And as I was studying this, I was asking myself, what is a practical way to teach or to learn how to wait on God? We do our best to teach our children to be patient as we struggle with being patient ourselves. But I believe that patience and the ability to wait is one of those lessons that I don't think most of us has grasped. Most of us have not fully wrapped our arms around this ability to wait. And for most of us, we'll wait for a while. But then when we get tired, we take matters into our own hands. And then when we take them into our own hands, we end up doing what? We end up causing more problems than what was necessary. Sometimes when we don't wait, we can make things worse. So over the next 2 weeks, these last 2 weeks, this week and next week, James is going to teach us two things. He's going to teach us about patience, and then there's something that we need to accompany patience, and we're going to talk about that on next week. But there's two very practical things that as believers that we need, and that is patience and what we're going to teach about next week. So you got to come back next week. So as James is teaching this now, you have to remember the setting of the book of James. Remember that James is talking to a group of believers, a group of Hebrew Christians who have been scattered because they are being persecuted. So they're being scattered, they're being persecuted, and so James is reminding them and encouraging them that I know things are bad right now, but James says just hold on just a little while longer. James says, I know that you're being persecuted on every side. I know that you're being persecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ. But James says this. He says, just hold on just a little while longer. But for us in this context, I want to define what patience looks like for us. Because for the majority of us, we're not being persecuted because of the name of Jesus Christ. We can openly and freely here in this country, we can worship God and we can worship Him freely, and we can pray openly. But what does patience look like for us today? And so today I want to start out first by giving us a working definition of patience. Here's the definition of patience: the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer, please underline this, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. That is the Cambridge Dictionary's definition of patience. And then I also came across this quote. Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It is how we behave while we are waiting. Would you say that that's the majority of our problem? Is that it's not that we mind, it's not that we don't want to wait, but it's that we don't know how to wait. We don't know what waiting looks like. And so today, in the book of James, I want to help us with this one thing, and it begs this question. How do I know when I need to be patient? How do I know when I need to be patient. James is talking to this church, and in verse 7, he says this. He says, therefore, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. But the key is this next sentence. He says, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. What does this text teach us? This text teaches us that I know I need to be patient when I'm faced with situations that are out of my control. See, what'd you say? I need to be patient when I know that things are not in my control. And I know I have, if I would ask for a show of hands, I know there are several control freaks in the house. If you struggle with wanting to control everything, if you feel brave enough, stick your hand up in there. I'm going to stick two hands up in there because I know that I have to be in control. And it causes problems with me and God. But I thought it was very interesting that the illustration that James uses the illustration of a farmer. What can a farmer teach us about being patient? Here's what a farmer can teach us about being patient. A farmer controls what he can control. A farmer controls what he can control. What does the farmer control? The farmer controls this. The one thing that the farmer can do is the farmer can cultivate the ground. The farmer can till the soil that he has. He can cultivate the ground. That's one thing that the farmer can control. The second thing that the farmer can control is that the farmer, after he's cultivated the ground, he can plant the right seeds at the right time. He can control how much work and effort he puts in cultivating the ground. He can put the right seeds in at the right time. Those are two things that the farmer can control. But here's the third thing that the farmer can control. Now, man, the farmer now, I'm going to say it now, but because as I'm thinking through this, I was like, man, I don't know if they had irrigation systems then. I'm like, so make sure you're saying the right thing here. I mean, don't just say stuff to be saying it. And so the farmer, let's use now as a context. Farmers now can control how wet the soil gets. Okay? The farmer can water the seed. But even now, with farmers being able to water the seed, they still can't control when the seed grows. So we have to understand that for us, we are cultivating our hearts to be patient. And so we need to cultivate our hearts. We need to make sure that we are tilling up, that we are uncovering all of those things, and that our hearts are prepared to receive the Word of God. And the Word of God is the seed. And then we control how we put ourselves in the right place to get the nourishment for the seeds in our heart. But we still can't control how it grows. That's up to God. And so James uses this illustration of the farmer. And what that is saying to us is that we need to cultivate our ground of our hearts. We need to plant the right seeds at the right time in our hearts. And we need to make sure that the seeds in our heart are being watered. That's why if you hear me pray, I say this. I mean, just about every time I pray, I say this. I say, God, let this word today fall on the what? Good soil of our hearts. And when it falls on the good soil of our hearts, God, I want you to bring back a harvest that this word today doesn't fall on the stony places and it doesn't fall on the rocky places. That the word today that we're receiving in our hearts, that it brings back a harvest. And so, how do I know when I need to be patient? I need to be patient when I'm faced with situations that are out of my control. And the other thing is, I know I need to be patient. This is gonna be a tough one. When I encounter difficult people. Husbands, don't look at your wives right now. Wives, don't look at your husbands right now. Just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. All eyes on me. I don't want anybody going home today. This is going to be a good day. James, drop down to James verse 10. James verse 10 says this. He says, as an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience. He uses another illustration. He says, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. James says, when you're dealing with patience, he says, first think about the farmer. And now he's using this illustration of the prophets. Do you know what it took to be a prophet back in the day? God sent prophets to difficult people and the difficult places to proclaim his name. And not everybody received the prophet. The prophet to me was one of the most unenviable positions that you could have. Why? Because if you prophesied back then and your prophecy did not come true, they killed you. The prophet Jeremiah, some theologians called him the weeping prophet, because he would... Jeremiah had to give people hard sayings and tell people hard things. And God says, when you're thinking about patience, and please don't miss this part. He says, an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience. Man, just those two together. When you put suffering and patience together, that's a hard one. Because we don't talk enough about suffering. Everybody's on this prosperity kick, but nobody's teaching us how to suffer and to be patient while we suffer. See, these are the hard things that James is helping that church with then, that I'm trying to help us with today, is that every day with Jesus is not going to be sweet. Every day as a follower of Jesus Christ is not going to be ice cream and cake. There's going to be some days as followers, and can I go further and say this? The majority of the days that you are naming the name of Jesus Christ, that you are following him, that people know, they can see it, and they can hear it, when you are a visual, verbal follower of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer, and you're going to have to be patient while you're suffering. But see, nobody equips the believers for this. Everybody wants to tell you that as a follower of Jesus Christ, every day is going to be a Friday. And I'm going to tell you, every day is not a Friday. When you name Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there are going to be days where you're going to have to put on your pants and just go for it. And if we don't start exercising this, we will have spiritual atrophy. Because we're not exercising the patient skill and the muscle. And for some of us, we believe that our financial situation can solve all of our problems. Can I tell you this? I'm all for having things. I'm all for having a nice life. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's one situation. I don't care how much money you have. Perfect example. Steve Jobs said while he was lying on his deathbed, Steve Jobs at the time was worth probably $3-4 billion. And he said, if I could pay for my health, I would. And he couldn't. As believers, we have to grasp this idea that, man, sometimes I'm going to suffer and sometimes things are not going to come when I want them to come. Sometimes it's just, I'm just going to have to wait. And so when I need patience, I need patience when I encounter difficult people and also difficult places. Because here's the thing, patience is a skill that needs to be practiced and developed. But most of us try to avoid it by solving the problem ourselves, and we just make the problem worse. And so we need patience when we understand that we're not in control, and we need to exercise patience when we encounter difficult people. But here's the big one. Here's the big one. This one right here is the big one. Let's read verse 11. It says, we count those blessed who have endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's, how the Lord dealt with Job, that the Lord is full of compassion and he is merciful. When I need to exercise patience is when I can't explain why what is happening to me is happening to me. I love the illustrations that James used. James used the farmer, he used the prophet, he used the prophets, and he used Job. And if you know anything about Job, see, the story of Job goes something like this. I'm going to give you a condensed version. God and Satan had a conversation about Job that Job wasn't even privy to. So Satan approaches God and he says, I see your faithful servant, but he's faithful. The only reason that Job is so faithful is because of all of the stuff that Job has. God says, all right. He says, you can do anything to him except you can't kill him. Now, all of this conversation is going on, and Job don't even know. Job is going on with his life. And behind the scenes, God and Satan are having this conversation. God says you can do anything to him, but you can't kill him. Satan says, bet. Game on. And when you read the book of Job, in like one fell swoop, Job lost everything. He lost all his cattle. He lost all his servants. He lost his children. And then he was stricken with bad health. But in the midst of all of it, let me tell you, I'm going to just read you a couple of quotes what Job says. Now, remember, Job is going through all of this, and Job can't explain why. Even Job's friends have come to him and told him, man, what have you done? Job's wife tells him, man, you should just curse God and die because we don't know what you've done. So Job can't explain why all of this is happening to him. But what Job can control, Job can control. Here's what Job says. He says in Job chapter 5, verse 17, he says, behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not the discipline of God. For he who wounds, but he binds up, he shatters, but he heals. Job's attitude didn't sway. Job should be the poster boy for endurance. Job should be the poster boy for patience. Because Job had an unswerving belief that God was still in control. Even though he couldn't explain nothing that was happening, Job never wavered. I like what it says in Job, the first chapter. It says this. Job says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. But here is the attitude of Job. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But even in all of this that I'm going through, God, Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, even when you can't explain what's going on, your faith and your trust in God, that God loves you enough, that God is not going to let anything kill you, that he's not going to let anything happen to you that is not ordained by him. You see, patience and trust is a relational process. It's not a transactional process. And the majority of us, we treat patience like it's a transactional thing, saying that, okay, I was patient 2 weeks ago. Therefore, I am patient. No. I didn't curse my husband out today. That's not patience. Patience is this relational thing. And that's what Job teaches us. Job's relationship was so with God. Even after everything was gone, Job still stuck to his faith and trust in God. And so, when I need to be patient is when I can't explain what happened or why it's happening. Sometimes you won't be able to explain why your spouse decided after 20, 30, 40 years that they wanted to go in a different direction. You can't explain why the job that you love the most decides that they're going in a different direction. You can't explain why you've done your very best to raise your children and they decide to go in an alternative way. You can't explain it. You don't know why. But what do you do in those situations when you can't explain why? I like Job's attitude. Job says, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so before I go, I want to give you three keys that will help you while you wait. The first one is this, as you are waiting, be faithful to what God has called you to do. And as you're being faithful to what God called you to do, here's the second thing I want you to do is continue to work while you wait. Continue to work while you wait. Don't go sit in a corner somewhere, sulking and crying. Don't shut every person off because you're going through something, because you're suffering now. No, continue working while you wait. And then remember this. You are growing as you are waiting. You are growing as you are waiting. So as I close, there's this one scripture that I believe is so apropos for now as we are talking about patience, and it's Isaiah 40 and the 31st verse. And for me, there are certain scriptures that I have to just read in the King James because I learned them in the King James, and it's something about there's certain scriptures that in the King James that just, I mean, it just has a certain emphasis. And it says in Isaiah 40 and the 31st verse, and I want you to tuck this away in your heart. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you're waiting on God for, but as you're being patient, I want you to think about Isaiah 40 and 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." And this is a promise from God. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord," here's the promise, "shall renew their strength." He says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise from God as we wait on Him. That's a promise that I believe that as we're going through, as we're working on our patience, remember Isaiah 40 and 31. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to pray for us today. And if you are like the majority of us, you're struggling with patience, and you know that you're a very impatient person, and you try to control the things that you know you can't control. You've been placed in a difficult situation with difficult people and in a difficult place. And you've come to that point where you just don't understand why it's happening to you. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that you remain steadfast, that you tuck the scriptures of Almighty God in your heart. And I want you to think about Job. And you say, well, that was good for Job. Well, it's good for Job, but it's an example for us of what we're capable of. And so I just want to pray with you today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this word today. God, thank you that we can fellowship around the hard things of being a believer, of being patient, of waiting on you, God. God, coming under your authority, God, your kingdom authority, God. And God, I pray that our hearts and our wills are aligned with yours. And God, that's when great things happen. But God, I pray that you prepare our hearts, God, to know that it doesn't come easy, that we are going to suffer. We're going to go through things. But God, as we go through these things, God, you have us, God. God, you are our Father, and God, we know that you are a good, good Father. And so, God, I pray that we know that you are teaching us something, that you're growing us, that you are developing us, God, as we wait on you. And so, God, I just thank you for who you are. And thank you for the transformation that's happening within our hearts. And so we just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen.